We finished off yesterday on Lamed Aleph from a bit with the two different opinions about what the last takana of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was. So one opinion was it was Kerem Revai, and one opinion was it was Lashon Shel Zoit. Okay, so Kerem Revai, remember, people would go up to Jerusalem. Everyone who, they would bring their fruits, the fourth year fruits, after the Orla. The Orla is the first 3 years you can't eat the fruits off your tree. The fourth year you can eat them, but you have to bring them to Jerusalem and eat them there. So they said that for Kerem Revai, they would bring them to Yerushalayim. If you lived within a day's distance of Yerushalayim, you had to carry them to Yerushalayim. And that was so that the city would be full of fruits to decorate the Shukei Yerushalayim B'Peirot. But then there was this braita that said that there was a Kerem Revai of Rabbi Eliezer in Lod, which was on this area where you had to carry your fruits, and he was mafkir to the poor people. He said, I'm going to give my whole field to the poor people, because he didn't want to have to carry the Kerem Revai, all the fruits of the fourth year, to Yerushalayim. And his friend said, why are you doing that? Already your friends had gotten up and were mafkir this halacha, that you had to go to Jerusalem to bring it, because now we no longer have a Beit HaMikdash, so it's not necessary for everybody to bring their fruits. So now what did they say? Who are Rabbi Lazar's friends who are matir this? Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. So here you see that the takana of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was that we no longer, right, most of the takana where now we have to do things, or things change. Now we're saying things change to the extent that we no longer have to bring. If you live within a day's walk, you can redeem your fruits onto coins and bring the coins to Jerusalem. You don't have to bring the actual fruits. So now, what's obviously unclear in this that you're going to see, because the question is, why doesn't the other guy think Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai did this? Because it's not clear Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai did this. The assumption of this opinion is, when he said, Kfar nimnu chaverecha alecha vihitiruhu, that they were referring to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. But we don't have proof from here that the chavirim of Rabbi Eliezer are Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, and we'll see after. The other opinion rejects this, and we'll see why. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar l'shon shel zehorit, detanya. Barishonah hayu koshrim lashon shel zehorit al petach ulam mibachutz. Do you remember this? They would tie, we learned this in Yoma, they would tie the red string in the entrance to the ulam, in the Beit HaMikdash, mibachutz, outside. Hilbin hayu smichim, right? If they did it in the ulam outside, then all the people in the Azara would see it, and they would see whether it turned white or not. So, hilbin hayu smichim, lo hilbin, what if it didn't turn white? Hayu atzivim. Hitzkinu, so they made a takanash, you koshrinoto al petach ulam mibifnim. Now they're going to hang it inside the ulam, so the people won't see. Va'adayin hayu mitzitzim viro'im, but people would still be peeking in to try to see. Hilbin hayu smichim, if it turned white, they were all excited. Lo hilbin hayu atzivim. Just to review, also for those who maybe weren't with us, this was a string they would tie on Yom Kippur, and it was a sign, right, that the red string would turn to white, and that was a sign that that they were the kapara of the Kohen Gadol was successful. So then hitkin shiyu koshrimoto chetzio basela v'chetzio ben karnav shel seir mishtalech. They said, let's take this out of the Beit HaMikdash bichlal, because that's where all the people are hanging out. Let's send it with the seir mishtalech. And then they would put half on the rock and half between the karnayim of the seir. And then that way, nobody was with the seir, except for the guy who sent it out to the midbar, and then they wouldn't have this issue anymore. So that was the takana of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my time alo amar karav papa. So now we want to know, why did the second opinion not hold this Kerem Revai? Amar lach, isa kadatach Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, chavirav d'Rabbi Eliezer, mi have, rabo have. He wasn't his chavir, he was his rabbi. If he's his rabbi, they wouldn't call him chaverecha. Okay? V'idach, so what does the first guy then say? What does Rav Papa have to say about it? How could he explain that it was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai? If Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was his rabbi and not his chavir. Kevan de talmidim havu, lav orech ara lememrele l'rabbe rabcha. So now he explains that because they were talmidim of him, it wasn't lememrele l'rabbe rabcha. It wasn't appropriate for them to call him Rav. Why isn't that appropriate? 1 second. Because they were students of his.
It wasn't appropriate.
Because they were students of Rabbi Eliezer. So it wasn't appropriate for them to say, "Your rabbi." I see. The students were talking to Rabbi Eliezer and they said, "Your friend," because it was more respectful for Rabbi Eliezer, who they were talking to call Rabban Yochanan Zakkai your friend, instead of saying to the rabbi, "Well, your rabbi already did this. Like, shouldn't you know your rabbi did this?" So it was more appropriate, covetic for them to say, Chaverecha. Okay, but they obviously did mean his rabbi, which was Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. So you have two different interpretations. Now they say, "Rapapa, my time alo amar k'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, amar lecha, isal kada." Okay, maybe you guys could have figured this out. If we're talking about the chut, right? What are we talking about? Bizman Beit HaMikdash. What are all these tekanot of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai after the Churban? So what do they say? Isal kadat of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, bimei Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, mi havi lashon shel zeorit, right? Was there this lashon shel zeorit? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Now, he did live before the Churban, okay? But now we're going to see his life. Kol shnotav shel Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, 120 shana. He lived till 120. Arba'im shana asak b'prakmatia. He worked his first 40 years of life. Arba'im shana, what?
Prakmatia, I like that.
Right, you like that word, prakmatia, right. It comes from I assume it's Greek. Arba'im shana lamad. Then he learned for 40 years, okay? So for those of you in your 40s, right, this is the good time. If Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai just started learning in his 40s, we're in good shape. Arba'im shana limed. And then the last 40 years of his life, he taught. V'tanya, mem shana kodem shenechrab habayit, lo haya lashon shel zeorit, malbin, ela ma'adim. And what did we learn? The last 40 years of the Churban, there was no longer, do you remember we learned all this, that the miracles didn't happen the way they did, and already before the Churban, this actually is reminiscent of what we learned yesterday about the Shechina, jumping from place to place. It was already, things weren't the way they were before, and it would never turn white anymore. Utznan mishacharav habayit, itkim Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right, and then we learn that he did all these tekanot at the Churban. V'idach, so what are they saying, basically? That it must be that the earlier part of his life, when he was during the Churban, he was just in the stage of learning. He wasn't in the state, right? In other words, even if you say he learned those last 40 years, those last 40 years anyway, the Lashon Shel Zeorit didn't work. So, obviously, it doesn't match up the timing. Because obviously, his last 40 years, that was after the Churban, and that's when he was teaching, and that's when he would have done this takana. So it doesn't make any sense to say that's when he was doing his takanot, and that was during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. It doesn't overlap. So now they say, V'idach, so what does the other guy say? Otam arba'im shana delamad, tamid yoshev lefnei rabo hava. V'amar milta v'istaber tama v'kava'e rabbe b'shmei. So what are they saying? He actually did make takanot when he was in his middle 40 years, right, from 40 to 80, when he was learning. But this takanot was a little different. The takanot he made when he was a rabbi and he had stature. The takanot here was a suggestion he made as a student, and his teacher accepted his suggestion, and therefore it was considered, and he made the suggestion in his name. He said, "My student, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, suggested this." So those 40 years were done before. Okay, and that's how we get to 9, and then again, there's a machloket about which was the 9th. Okay, now we're going to get to Tfilot of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, very interesting sugyot, which really I'm going to give a little background again. I say this many times. For those of you who heard it many times, it might get boring, but anyway, it's always good to review. Tfilot, and here's a great sugya to see it, Tfilot in the time of the Mishnah were very fluid. Okay, fluid would be the best word to describe it. There were certain rules about what had to be, and we're going to see that there were machlokot about those rules. Not everybody agreed with them. There was a certain framework to the tefillah, but what you put in that tefillah varied tremendously. Okay? So what we're going to talk about today is Malchuyot Zichronot and Shofarot. A little background, right? Shmona Esrei generally has three brachot before, three brachot after, and then brachot in the middle. And every day, right, there's 13 brachot in the middle. And so there's three in the beginning, three in the end, and then there's 13 in the middle, which are bakashot. On a holiday, there's one in the middle, which is called Kedushat Hayom. Okay? And on Rosh Hashanah for Musaf, it's different because they have, I'll put it on this side, there's three in the middle. Okay? So what are the three? We all know, Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. Okay? Now, if you notice already, there's a bit of a problem. What's the problem? If normally on a holiday or a Shabbat, there's one bracha of Kedushat Hayom, and here we have three of Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, what's missing? Kedushat Hayom. Where do you put Kedushat Hayom? Okay? Where is Kedushat Hayom, by the way, in our tefillah? Who knows? Where's Kedushat Hayom in Musaf Rosh Hashanah? I'll give you a hint, okay? What's Kedushat Hayom? Kedushat Hayom is Ya'alev Yavo, and it has Mikadesh Yisrael, right? Ve Yom HaZikaron. Okay? What's the bracha in? I'll give you a hint, okay? Do you remember the bracha in the Amidah? You can look. It's right in front of you. What's the bracha in the Amidah? Everybody remembers? Melech HaKol HaAretz, Mikadesh Yisrael. Right? Melech HaKol HaAretz, Mikadesh. So tell me. Where's Kedushat Hayom? Malchuyot Zechronot HaShofarot. Malchuyot. Melech HaKol HaAretz, okay? It's in Malchuyot. Okay, we're going to learn it. We'll see how much time we have to go into really the development of the tefillah, but it's really, really interesting what goes on here. So, now that is halakha l'maaseh. We're going to see that not everybody agreed about the structure. Okay, there's a few different opinions. And what else do we know about Malchuyot Zechronot and Shofarot? The bracha, you can look inside your machzorim. I opened all the machzorim to Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, if you look in Musaf here, you can pass this to Rezel. Okay, you have one, Rezel? There's one over there. Okay, Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, each of the brachot in the middle, you can just take a glance, they start off with an introductory bracha, okay, like a Atah Zocher Maaseh Olam. Okay, it starts off like that. Then there's a whole paragraph of intro. Then there's Tem Psukim. Okay, do you remember the Tem Psukim? What we do? There's three of Torah, three of Ketuvim, this is the order, okay? And then three of Nevi'im, and then what's the tenth? One of Torah. Okay, you can already see the problem. If there's ten, it's not divisible by three, so how do you do it? What do you add the one of? Is it, right? So in the end, this is what we do, okay? Three of Torah, three of Nevi'im, three of Ketuvim, and one of Torah. And that's what we do. Sometimes there's a little bit more, or it's a question of how you count them also. We're going to see that today also. How you count, like if it's a section that mentions Melech more than once, maybe you count that more than once. One area where there was another problem is that there's only three places where Melech is mentioned in the Torah about God. So they were stuck with the fourth, what do you do? Okay, where's the fourth bracha? What do you, pasuk, where are you going to come up with that? And we have now a list of psukim that we say. What's clear from this Gemara is that the Chazam would get up and he would quote whatever type of psukim he wanted. Okay? Or even maybe it wasn't 10, maybe it was 3, maybe it was more than 10. Okay? What are the rules? There were the rules and a framework. This is what there were rules about where the brachot need to be, what the order of them is, where Kedushat Hayom goes, where we'll see, where Machoyot goes. Okay? There were all sorts of rules, and then the question was, every chazam was able to get up there and do according to his rabbi's rules, right? Because there were different rabbis and different rules in different places. So like in the Galil, for example, there was one minhag, and in Yehuda, there was a different minhag, okay? And then they each followed their rabbi. At a certain point, you know, they popped and then they said, okay, no more. We're going to each do the same thing. But at a certain point, each one was doing according to their rabbi. We're going to see a case really show up today where one guy did one way and another guy did another way. But they just had to kind of keep within the rules of their rabbi, right? So how many brachot, where you do the tefillah, all sorts of things. So let's start. Seder brachot. Omer avot u'gvurot u'kedushat Hashem. Those are the first three brachot. V'kolel malchuyot imahen. Ah, interesting. Not like what we said. Instead of, right, according to this, how would you have the three brachot in the middle? Okay, you have, I'm going to erase this. You have the first three brachot are the first three that we always have. Avot, Gvurot and Kedushat Hashem. Okay? Right? Hakel HaKadosh, right? Atah Kadosh and Shecha Kadosh, right? Now, then your three middle brachot are, according to this, because where does Malchuyot go? Malchuyot goes with Kedushat Hashem. So what are the three middle? Tell me. Shofarot. Okay, Shofarot, Zichronot, and Kedushat Hayom. Okay? So the first bracha in the middle is Kedushat Hayom, number four, like it always is. Then you have Zichronot, then you have Shofarot. Okay? According to that interpretation, that Mishnah, Malchuyot went with Kedushat Hashem.
You change it to HaMelech HaKadosh.
Right, we also change it to HaMelech HaKadosh, Yafeh. That's probably from here. Okay, from this guy's opinion. Now, we no longer follow this, but there are parts of our tefillah that follow this exclusively, which not only is HaMelech HaKadosh, what else do we add in that bracha? Uvachein tein pachtecha, Hashem Elokeinu alkom, right? Which is a long tefillah that we add not only on Rosh Hashanah of Musaf. We add it in all the tefillot of Yomim Noraim, remember? There are even people who say that all of us are Yomei Tshuva, you say. Now this is a long tefillah, Uvachein tein pachtecha, right? And it's all a description about God's going to put his fear upon all the people and all the people that can come worship God. And then it's going to happen in Israel, in Har Tzion, in Yerushalayim, right? And then it quotes the pasuk, Yimloch Hashem L'Olam, Yimloch Hashem L'Dor V'Dor Haluyah. It has some psukim in there also, okay? And it's in Kedushat Hashem Bracha. So this is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri's opinion, we're going to see in a minute. And this opinion still exists in our tefillah, even though we don't follow it. And not only does it exist in our tefillah, but this is another thing about tefillot. It, okay, I call it the copy-paste, okay? What happened? It was there in Rosh Hashanah, and then they copied it to all the other tefillos. So then it got taken from there, not only to all the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, but even to Yom Kippur. Okay? Even though really, its original place was Malchuyot. Okay. Its original place was that it was the Bracha of Malchuyot of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri for Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So now, what happens according to this opinion? Ve'eino tokea. According to that, you're not tokea for Malchuyot. Okay, because, right, we always say, Areshet Tzvatenu, right, Yerav Lefanecha, Seder Malchuyotenu, and then we blow the shofar, connected with Malchuyot Zechronon and Shofar. According to this opinion, if it's in the beginning, you're not blowing shofar for it. Kedushat Hayom V'tokeah, so now you get to bracha number 4, and you blow the shofar. Zichronot V'tokeah, Shofarot V'tokeah, V'omer, now we get to the last 3, V'omer Avodah V'hodah Berkat Kohani, Tivrei Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, im eino tokeah l'malchiyot, lama hu maskir? If you're not going to blow a shofar for Malchiyot, then what's the point, right? These 3 tefillot, according to Rabbi Akiva, were supposed to be the tefillot specified for blowing shofar. Ela Omer, so he disagrees, and he says, and this is what we paskin by, avot u'gvurot u'kedushat Hashem, v'kolel Malchiyot im kedushat hayom. And Malchiyot goes in the kedushat hayom bracha. Okay, so I'm going to put this in a different color. According to Rabbi Akiva, Malchiyot goes here. Okay? You want to know another copy paste? Okay? Malchuyot. What's the ending bracha of Malchuyot? Melech HaKol Ha'aretz Mekadesh Shor V'Yom HaZikaron. Right? That's the end bracha. Right. Okay? And there's a whole tefillah there about Melech HaKol Olam Kulo B'Chvodecha V'Yinaseh HaKol Ha'aretz B'Karecha. That's the theme, Malchuyot. Okay? What's interesting about that bracha? The end of Malchuyot, right? That last paragraph and the bracha is copied to all the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah. That's the Kedushah Hayom Bracha, in all the tefillot, has the Malchuyot theme to it. Okay? Even though really, in theory, it should just be Kedushah Hayom with the description of some other stuff. It shouldn't have this. Okay? It should just be Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron like it is on every other tefillah. Right? But since the middle bracha of since the fourth bracha of Shmon Esrei on Musaf had this, it got copied from there. Not only that, but if you notice on Yom Kippur, we say Melech HaKol Ha'aretz, and then we add other stuff, right? We say, Melech HaKol Ha'aretz, I think Melech Mochel V'Selecha, there's a really long one, right? It's in here, I forget the whole, it's a very long Nisa. But also there, let's see. Anyway, it's a very long bracha, and it's okay. Anyway, 1 second. It's okay. You know what? It doesn't have melech. Oh, it does here. Melech mochel v'soleach lavonotenu lavonot amo be Yisrael u'ma'avir shmotenu b'chol shana v'shana melech hakol ha'aretz mekadesh Yisrael v'yom kippurim. The melech hakol ha'aretz got kept in there even all throughout Yom Kippur tefillot. Okay, that's the copy-paste theory of where they just kind of took tefillot that they liked. Okay, and even more, I'll tell you the last one because we're on Yom Kippur. Aleinu is the introduction to Malchuyot Zichronot and Shofarot. It's like after you finish the Kedushat Hayom both in the silent and in Chazarat Hashat, you start with Aleinu, which is Aleinu L'Shabeth. We're going to now praise God, okay? Alkein Nikaveh is the intro to Malchuyot specifically, because what's it talking about? That God's going to wipe out all of evil and he's going to rule over the world. That's okay. And from there, it was copied to all our tefillot. Okay, the real place of Aleinu, right? We always find, what's Aleinu doing in Rosh Hashanah? It's the opposite. What's Aleinu doing in all the other tefillot? Aleinu came. Aleinu is the intro to Okay, and how can I prove that it's the intro to the middle section? Because in Yom Kippur, Aleinu also becomes the intro to the Avoda. Now, there's Aleinu is that section without Alkeinu Kaveh. Okay, just Aleinu, the first paragraph. So it's really, it was used as an intro to the whole middle section. From there, it went to Yom Kippur. From there, it went to every day.
You should teach us before
the Chagim. Yeah, I know. It's a good thing to teach before the Chagim. Yes. Yes. Okay. I'll have to remember. Okay. So now, let's get back to our Mishnah. Okay, now we're up to the Gemara. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Imeinu tokeh lamalchiyo, lama hu mazkir? Lama hu mazkir? Okay, so now we're quoting this statement of Rabbi Akiva. If you're not going to be tokeh from Malchiyo, what's the point of saying it? So now they say, lama hu mazkir? Rachmana amar idkar. The Torah said to say it. Okay, now this is a big question. Where did the Torah ever say Malchiyot is a bit of a problem. But I think he's saying that it doesn't necessarily have to be connected with Tkiyot. Okay? It's just an important tefillah. Elalama. So what does it mean? Elalama eser. Lema tesha. Do'il v'ishtene, ishtene. The question was really not, he's saying, if you're going to say Malchiyot's different from Zichronot and Shofarot, then why do you have 10 psukim for that also? You should have 9 just to set it aside. If Malchiyot isn't the same as the other two, then it should be different. Again, we don't have a lot of time, but I feel like I can't teach this without getting into this. Zichronot and Shofarot, okay, when you think of what's the basic theme of Rosh Hashanah, what do you think of? Malchuyot, right? Most people think of Melech, God's king over the world, that's the main theme. Really, in the Torah, what's the theme? Zichron Shruah, right? Which is Zichronot and Shofarot, okay? And Zichronot and Shofarot are also earlier historically. I'll give you an example. In the fast days, we're going to get to Taanit, we're going to see. In the Tfilot, they had 24 brachot on Taaniyot. And 2 of them were Zichronot and Shofarot, and there's no Malchiyot. Now, Zichronot and Shofarot were existing, okay? Malchiyot is kind of an addition. And if you look in the Torah, it never says anywhere, we talked about this, that there was one place where they said, well, it doesn't say it's Yom Adin, and then they try to learn it. But really, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it's Yom Adin. It doesn't say that God is king over the world. That was a later development. And it became, I think part of the reason it became the major concept is because Malchuyot ended up together with Kedushat Hayom. And we said it in all our tefillot. Like I said, the copy-paste, because our tefillot are so much based on Miloch HaKol HaOlam Kulo B'Chvodecha, and we say it every single tefillah, and that's the major theme. And it stayed in the Kedushat Hashem Bracha in all the tefillot. It became the major theme, but the real theme Midoraita is Zichronot and Shofarot. Okay? So that's important also just to understand here. Why is Malchuyot the one that's not clear? And why would that be on a lower level? Because it was a later concept. Okay? We even had before. Who does it go by? It must go by the guy who says that the war was created in Tishrei. We learned not everybody agreed that the war was created on Rosh Hashanah. So that whole theme was more, was less developed and established. Whereas Zichron and Shofar was very much established.
Who put together all the prayers for Rosh Hashanah?
Well, here you're seeing the discussion. This was it. Okay? This was a discussion. It's tough to know. Maybe it was a little before, right? Because the Mishnah is the first time they started writing things down. But clearly not, right? Sometime between Anshe Knesset Agdola, which is, I think, like 300 BCE, maybe, like from toward, you know, the end, like the middle to the end of Korban Bayit, they started with the first basic tefillot, and from there it developed till the time of the Mishnah. So you're talking, you know, it was developed over time, but here it's still not fully developed. They're still having arguments about it. So now, Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shomrim Avot. Now we're going to, this is a weird braita because it starts with the 3 regular brachot and then it moves on specifically to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's clearly a braita talking about Rosh Hashanah, but for some reason they add also the first 3 brachot. Minayin Shomrim Avot. Where do we know that we say this bracha? Havu Lashem Shenemar, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. B'nei Elim are the strong people, like the sons of God, the important people. So they say the Avot. Uminayin Shomrim Gvurot. Shneamar, havu l'Hashem kavod va'oz. Okay, strength. Uminayin shomrim kedushot. Shneamar, havu l'Hashem kivod shemo. Okay, this is all a tefillah about these people should come to praise you. So that's why we say the first 3 brachot are the kavod shemo, the glory of God. Hishachavu l'Hashem b'hadrat kodesh. Okay, in his place of kodesh, his holy place. Uminayin shomrim machuyot zichronot b'shofarot. Rabbi Elazar Amar Dichtiv Shabbaton Zichron Shrua Mikra Kodesh. Shabbaton, now he's going to be darshan in this pasuk. You'll see the last rasha has nothing to do with this. Shabbaton Zeh Kedushat Hayom. Okay, here we see. Kedushat Hayom, number 1. Zichron Elu Zichronot. Shrua Elu Shofarot. Again, what do you see is missing? Malchuyot isn't here at all. Okay, the Gemara is going to get to that in a minute. But Malchiyot isn't even in the basic pasuk. Mikra Kodesh, this is the part that has nothing to do with anything. They're just being darshaning the rest of the pasuk. Kadshehu basiyat malacha. That means you should do, you know, you shouldn't do malacha on this day. Amar la Rabbi Akiva, mipnema lo ne'emar shabbaton shvot, shabo patach hakatuv tchila. He says, why did you say shabbaton is kedushat hayom? The main thing of the day is that we don't do malacha. So instead of darshaning from Mikra Kodesh that we don't do malacha, we should darshan it from the first word of the pasuk. Shabbaton, we should learn shvot, meaning don't do malacha. Shabbat patach hakatuv tchila. Ela, so therefore he says, shabbaton kacheu basiyat malacha, don't do malacha. Zichron elu zichronot, shua elu shofarot, and mikra kodesh zo kedushat hayom. He just flips it. He says instead of shabbaton, the kedushat hayom, and mikra kodesh yisro malacha, he flips it. Okay. Now they say, well, okay, you skip malchuyot. So minayin shomrim malchuyot. And already you see here, their drashot are more dachuk, you could say. They're more, they don't fit in so well. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, ani Hashem Elokechem, ubechodesh hashvi'i. Okay, now these psukim appear in Vayikra, in Parshat Emor, but ani Hashem Elokechem has to do with the section previously. Okay, where it talks about the leket shechan peah, it says ani Hashem Elokechem. Two psukim later, it says ubechodesh hashvi'i, and it gives the tzivur for Rosh Hashanah. So what does he say? The fact that ani Hashem Elokechem is two psukim away from Bechodesh HaShvi'i, what do you learn from there? That's Malchuyot. Okay? Zo Malchut. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarich. Harehu Omer. Now he says, we're going to learn it not from here. We're going to learn it from an Eino Tzarich. What is an Eino Tzarich? An Eino Tzarich means there's something in a pasuk that's unnecessary, so we're going to learn from it something else. Harehu Omer. Now here's a pasuk that's talking directly about Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's talking, well, not exactly. Okay, let's be clear about it. It's the pasuk in Bamidbar. We read it the Shabbat and Baal Otcha. It's talking about when they blow the chatzotzrot. What does it say? Ubiyom simchatchem uvamoadechem, on your happy days and your holidays. Uvrashechotchechem utkatem bechatzotzrot. You should blow the chatzotzrot. Alolotechem vaal zibchei shalmechem. Vayulachem lezikaron lefnei elokechem. Ani Hashem elokechem. Now, if you notice, that pasuk at the end has some repetition. What does it say? These should be for remembering, which also sounds like Rosh Hashanah. Lifnei Elokechem, before your God, Ani Hashem Elokechem. So it's repetitive at the end. It says, Lifnei Elokechem and Ani Hashem Elokechem. So that's what they're going to darshan here. So he says, Vayulachem lezikaron lifnei Elokechem. She'ein Talmud lamar, Ani Hashem Elokechem. There's no point to say it at the end, Ani Hashem Elokechem. Umat Talmud lamar, so why is it there? Ani Hashem Elokechem, ze bana av lekol makom she'ne'amar bo zichronot. Yiyu malchuyot imahen. What does it teach you? That every time Yulachem lezikaron, you should always also say, Ani Hashem Elokechem, and add malchuyot. It's a bit of a problem because we don't add malchuyot on fast days when there's zichronot. So I don't know how he relates to that. Anyway, that's how he learns it. He learns it from pasuk that's a little bit more directly linked to where it says it in the same pasuk, although, again, the theme of that pasuk isn't exclusively Rosh Hashanah. V'hechan omra l'kedushat hayom. Now, before we had a machloket in the Mishnah, where does Malchuyot go? Does it go with Kedushat Hashem or does it go with Kedushat hayom? Now we're saying, where does Kedushat hayom go? Okay, this is a separate machloket. Okay, the assumption is, the assumption was Kedushat hayom is the fourth bracha. Now we're going to see that that's not even clear. Which bracha is going to be the Kedushat Hayom bracha? So, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, im ha-malchuyot omra, meaning, it's malchuyot zichronot and shofarot, the three middle ones, like Rabbi Akiva, and then you add it into malchuyot bracha number four. Why? Why there? Ma matzinu, not because it has anything to do with malchuyot, okay? Ma matzinu b'chol makom b'rivi'it, af kam b'rivi'it, every single holiday, the Kedushat Hayom is the fourth bracha. So therefore, it's also going to be the fourth bracha, bracha number four. Rashbag Omer, no. Ima zichronot. Why should it go ima zichronot? Again, nothing having to do with zichronot specifically. Why? Ma matzinu b'komakom be'emtza, afkam be'emtza. Right? When you have seven brachot, number four is the middle bracha. It's always in the middle. When you have nine brachot, the fifth bracha is the middle one. So he says it should be at the right? What's the real concept, I think? Look, you could say they're trying, that behind what they're arguing about is really, does it belong in malchuyot or zichronot? But I think what's behind it really is, should it be in the center, in the merkaz? Or Malchuyot Zichronot and Shofarot a separate thing, and we're going to do it before, and then have our Malchuyot Zichronot and Shofarot. Okay. U'kishikidshu Beit Din etach shana be'usha. Now we're going to have a case of what happened. Yarad Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka lefnei Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, Yarad always means Yarad lefnei Ateva, meaning he went, he davened for the Amud. Okay? So, In Usha, he goes up before Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, va'asak Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he put Malchuyot in Kedushat Hashem. Amar lo Rabban Shimon, lo hayu noagim kem b'Yavne. This isn't the way we did things in Yavne. Why? Because Usha was in the north, near the Galil, and Yavne was in the south, near Yehuda, and there were different minhagim. L'yom hasheni, yarab Rabbi Chanina b'nosha Rabbi Yossi Aglili, va'asak Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rashbag, kach hayu noagim b'Yavne. Okay? So here you see that there were two different guys. Now, this is a big problem. What does it mean, b'yom hasheni? They're in the Beitim. Okay? In Usha, In Usha, that's where the Sanhedrin was. They were kovea the Kiddush HaChodesh. There were no 2 days. So what's it talking about? So they say, we're going to get to that in a minute, okay? They're going to ask that question soon. So obvious to us that there are 2 days, but in where the Beitim was, there weren't 2 days because they knew exactly when it was. Anyway, let's move on to the Gemara's first question. Lameimra, now what's the problem? What did we just say? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said Kedushat Hayom goes in Zichronot, remember? So they say, Lameimra, and what did he say now? He said, oh, it was good that he did like Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? It goes in the Kedushat Hayom goes in Malchuyot. Right? So what does he say? Lameimra, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, Svirale, Baham Rabbi Akiva, Malchuyot in Kedushat Hayom. As Amar Lehu, so what does it mean? Birashbag omer Amar Lehu Virashbag omer Kedushat Hayom v'mazichrono. Im Kedushat Hayom Amar Lehu Amar Lehu v'mazichrono. Amar Lehu. Wait 1 second. Amar v'zera l'alam tukin l'machia. I'm having trouble how to read this. V'hamar v'kiv amachiot im Kedushat Hayom Amar Lehu. Period. I'm sorry. I'm struggling for a second. So v'ha amar v'kim ochiyon k'dushat hayom amar lehu. Okay. So he said that's what you do. And v'rabban shimon v'gamliel amar k'dushat hayom ima zechonot amar lehu. So how do you explain that? That's the question. He said that and he said that and they said two different things. So now, Amar Rabbi Zera, lo marsha tok in l'malchuyot. In other words, the issue wasn't they were arguing over where does Kedushat Hayom go. The question that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was pointing out that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva is that we blow shofar from malchuyot. That they both agree with. It's just a matter of, do you put Kedushat Hayom bracha number 4, do you put it number 5, but Rashbag and Rabbi Akiva both agree. Right? In other words, there's two different machlokot here. One is, does Malchuyot belong in bracha number 3, in which case there's no tzkiyot? Or does it belong in bracha number 4, in which case there are tzkiyot? So on the issue of, does Malchuyot belong in the middle section, that there are tzkiyot, that Rashbag agreed with Rabbi Akiva. And he said it has to be in the middle, and there's tzkiyot. But he didn't agree with him as to where Kedushat Hayom went. That was a machloket, whether it goes in the 4th or the 5th. But he was upset at this shliach tzibur, that he was putting Malchuyot in bracha number 3, and they weren't blowing the shofar at all. Okay. There's a lot more I could say about this, like in terms of the theme being different. Once you put in the third bracha, the theme is totally different, but we're not going to get into this. But if you ever want to look, you can see that the theme of Malchuyot in the Kedushat Hayom bracha is more specific. Number one, it's a little more pachad oriented, like, out of fear people are going to come to worship God. And it's more centered on B'nai Israel, like our role in this end of the time. Whereas, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Malchuyot is a very broad universal that has absolutely nothing to do with B'nai Israel. Like instead of quoting, I'll give you just one example. Instead of saying, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ve'ed, the Pasuk quoted in the Kedushat Hashem is, Yimloch Hashem Li'olam Elokaich Tzion L'dor V'dor Hallelujah, the God of Tzion. It's much more centered toward B'nai Israel, and this one's much more centered toward the universal concept. Okay, so they have a difference also among the theme and the concept. And also the people are going to come on their own accord rather than being forced. Okay. Then they say, L'yom hasheni, yarab Rabbi Chanina, my sheni, what's the second day? There was no second day. Ilema yom tov sheni, l'memer dibru ala elu, you're saying they made it 2 days? V'ha'amar Rabbi Chanina barkana, miyamot ezra ve'elach, lo matzinu elu mu'ubar. It was never a full month. Amar Rav Chista, my sheni, l'yom sheni l'shana haba'a. Sheni, they explain, it means the following year. Which is very difficult according to the Pshat, but that's the explanation given. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein pochatin, now we're getting more rules. These are the rules. So number one, where do you put Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, right? Zichronot and Shofarot are clear. Malchuyot, where does it go? That was the first Machloket. Number two Machloket between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva. Ein pochatim me'asara machuyot me'asara zechronot me'asara shofarot. Okay? According to Tanakama, you can't have less than 10. Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri amar, im amar shalosh shalosh mikulan yetza. If you say three of each one, we're going to get to it later what this shalosh shalosh. Okay? But if you say three for each, that's enough. Now it doesn't, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri, the ideal is 10, but if you said three, you're yotze. Okay? Three is enough. Now the Gemara says, Hane asara machuyot kineged mi amar. Kineged, why 10? Where we get this 10 magical number? What does it have to do with? Kineged, we're going to see three interpretations now. The first is, Kineged asara hilulim sha'amar David b'sefer te'ilim. So now they say, what do you mean, asara hilulim sha'amar David? Hilulim tuvahahu. There's a million, right? Hilulim. You see hallelujah all over, say not all over, but in many mizmorim of te'ilim. Hanach dichtivi behu hallelu b'teka shofar. Ah, if you look in the mizmor of hallelu b'teka shofar, since what does that mean? Hallelu when you're blowing the shofar. Ah, perfect. You know, Rosh Hashanah. On that day, that's when you say 10 hallelujahs, right? So that mizmor of Tehillim has hallelu 10 times. Rabbi Yosef amar kineged aseret hadibrot shenemru lo Moshe b'Sinai. Rabbi Yochanan amar kineged asaram ma'amarot shebehem nivra ha'olam. Okay, certainly between the last two, you can see the difference in the theme. Again, is it all about, and this is a whole question in general about Rosh Hashanah, it's what I just mentioned very briefly about Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and Rabbi Akiva, is it all having to do with Bnei Yisrael and our role in it, right, Aseret Hadibrot, or is this a totally universal holiday that has to do with creation of the world? And that was a real machloket going on then, okay? I'll just give, also, Kedushat Hashem, the fact that it goes in Kedushat Hashem, what does that mean? Ata kadosh, shulcha kadosh, but what does it say the second part? Ukadoshim b'chol yom yihalu chasela. It's a bracha that talks about us. We're the ones who praise you every day. Because God is glory and you're holy ones. It's a bracha relating specifically to us. So therefore, there's again this theme between those two things. Hey, Ninhu. Okay, what do you say now? Vayomer. What are the 10 ma'amarot shebahem nivra olam? What are they? What do you mean? There were 10 ma'amarot shebahem nivra olam. Vayomer debreshit. Tetavu. So first they say it's vayomer in breshit. It says vayomer 10 times. So then they say, but there's only 9 times. Breshit nami ma'amarhu. God created the world with amirot. He said, vayomer Elohim yihi or, right? So also bereshit, they say, bereshit bara Elohim, with his dibur he said it. So even though it doesn't say vayomer, it was a ma'amar. So that's how they get. How do you know? Dichtiv bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu. They use a different pasuk that talks about God created the world with dvar Hashem. So bereshit bara Elohim must be also a dibur. Okay. Now we're going to get to the 3 and the 10. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri omer im amar shalosh shalosh mikulan yatsa. Ibay Elohu. They asked hechi katane shalosh hechi katane. How do you do the 10? The 3. What do you mean 3-3? Do you mean shalosh min haTorah, shalosh min haNeviim, shalosh min haKetuvim, dehavu tesha, v'ika b'nai uchada? When he says shalosh, shalosh mikulan, does he mean 3 times 3? 3 of Torah, 3 of Neviim, and 3 of Ketuvim, and the only difference is he doesn't have that last one, the 10th, and he has 9 and they have 10. O Dilma, or does he mean echa min haTorah, echa min haNeviim, ve'echa min haKetuvim, dehavu yin lein shalosh? And then there was only 3. V'ika b'nai uchuvah, and then there's a big difference between them. 3 versus 10 is a big difference. So now they say Tashma. We're going to learn it from a Braita. Detanya, ein pochatim me'asara machuyot, me'asara zechronot, me'asara shofarot. V'im amar sheva mikulan yatsa. Here you have a different opinion, right? Is it 10, right? 10 is the ideal, and 7 is second best. Keneged shiv'a riki'im. Do you remember we learned about the 7 levels in Shamayim? We got to that a few days ago, or maybe a few weeks ago, the 7 levels in the sky. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri omer hapuchet lo yipchot misheva. So then, according to this, Rabbi Yochanan says the minimum you have to do is sheva. Okay, v'im amar shalosh mikulan yatsa. That's 7 is the ideal, but if you did 3, you're okay. Keneged Torah neviim uketuvim va'amrela. Okay, so then im amar shalosh mikulan yatsa, and then from here we learn that what, that if it's 7. We're not splitting up the 7 into Nevi'im Ketuvim, right? If it's 7, then it means 7 altogether. So 3 must be 3 altogether. Instead of, it's not 9, right? It must be 3 mamash. And therefore, according to what's shalosh, shalosh mikulan? 3 in Malchiyot, 3 in Zichronot, and 3 in Shofarot. Okay, because of this number 7 appears in this Braita, it seems clear that he's not saying 9. Because 9 would be higher than 7. Here it means less than 7. Okay, so now why three? Keneged Torah Nevi'im U'Ketuvim. Va'amr la keneged Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim. Amr Rav Huna Amr Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Okay, even though we put 10 Malchus Yodin, 10 Zechonot, 10 Shofarot, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, that if you only said three, you were Yotze. Now again, for us this is all irrelevant because we have a sitter and we follow the sitter. But in those days it was very relevant because if a chazan came up, these are the klalim. If you did three, it's okay. If you started saying three and he doesn't remember any more psukim, he didn't have a sitter in front of him. The chazanim would say the tefillah on their own. Okay. Eimaz kirim. Here there's a different nusach, but machuyot zichronot v'shofarot shalpuranut. You can't say a pasuk that has negative connotations. We're going to get to the Gemara in a minute what that means. Matchil b'torah u'mashlim b'navi. Rabbi Yossi omer mishlim b'torah yatsa. Okay, so according to this, you start with the Torah and you end your last pasuk, and I think this is referring to the very last pasuk, would be in the Navi. Okay? Right, you would do three from the Torah, three from the Ketuvim, and then you do four from the Nevi'im, and that would be at the end. According to Rabbi Yossi, Imishlim Torah Yatsa. Okay, which sounds, we're going to see in the Gemara later, that they say it's not B'di'evet, but it sounds like it's B'di'evet. In other words, if you did the Torah, then it's the fourth pasuk with the Torah. It's okay. In the end, they're going to say, no, he says, ideally, you're supposed to do the last pasuk from the Torah. Okay, now they're going to give some examples of Machuyot of Puranut. Machuyot, Kigon, Chayani Ne'um Hashem Elokim, with anger, poured out anger, I'm going to rule you. Okay, that's a negative pasuk. It's saying God's going to rule us out of anger. Don't add a pasuk like that. In other words, God's going to come out in anger and save us. In other words, better off not to mention, even though maybe it will happen that way, better off not to mention that on Rosh Hashanah. Zichron kigon v'yizkor ki basar hema. Okay, and that's a pasuk that says, ruach alech v'lo yashub. It's a negative pasuk again. He's going to remember that they're just basar. Shofar kigon tik'u shofar bagiv'a. Okay, chatzotra b'rama hariu beit aven acharecha binyamin. Okay, again, like I'm going to get rid of all the evil. Doesn't sound very nice, like the evil from Bnei Israel. Aval im ba lomar machut zichron v'shofar shel puranut shel ovdei kochavim omer. But we have no problem mentioning the puranut of what he's going to do to the goyim, according to this. Omer machut kigon Hashem malach yigazu amim ukigon Hashem melech olam ve'ed abdu goyim eratzo. Okay, these are just psukim that talk about how God's going to wipe out the goyim. Zichron kigon Zechor Hashem livnei Edom. Okay, he'll remember right what they did to us when they destroyed us. Shofar kigon v'Hashem Elokim b'shofar yitka v'halach b'sarot teman. Right, and he went there to wipe out the enemy. Uchtiv Hashem tzvaot yagen alehem. Okay, this is a pasuk that's ba'achlu v'kavsu avnei kele v'shatu hamu kmo yayin umalu kemizrak kezaviyot mizbeach. It's talking about yagen alehem. I don't know exactly the share of that pasuk. Okay, because of time, we're going to move on. Emas kirim zichron shel yachid. Okay, now what kind of zichronot do we mention? So they say we don't mention zichronot of an individual. We only mention zichronot of the tzibur. Vafilu l'tova, even if it's a positive one. Kigon, zachreni Hashem b'ritzon amecha. Ukigon, zachra li Elohai l'tova. These are all psukim that talk about, remember me. That's an individual bakasha, right? We don't mention those kind of psukim because that's not what it's all about. Pikdonot harehen kezichronot. Okay, the word pikadon, Hashem pakad et sarah, right? A pakad is like a zikaron, and therefore you can use it according to this opinion. Kigon, b'Hashem pakad et sarah, ukigon, pakob pakad et yadchem, right, to get out of Egypt. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, einan kezichronot. No, it's not, okay? Only words of only psukim that have the word zikaron and not pikadon. Ule Rabbi Yossi, nihi nami de pikdonot harehen kezichronot. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it's true, well, we'll accept the pikdonot or like zichronot, but Hashem pakad et sarah doesn't work. Why? It's a pikadon diyachidu. We just said you don't mention individuals. So what do they answer, obviously? Kevan da'atu rabim minei kerabim damya. Ah, Sarah was the mother of everybody, and everybody came from her, so that's a pikadon of rabim. Okay, now we're going to have a numbers game. When you have a pasuk with a bunch of words of melech in it, how many does it count for? Su sharim rashechem v'inasu p'tchei olam v'yavo melech ha-kavod. Mi hu zeh melech ha-kavod, Hashem izu zeh gibor, Hashem gibor mechama. Su sharim rashechem, count while you're going. Usu p'tchei olam v'yavo melech ha-kavod. Mi hu zeh melech ha-kavod, Hashem tzvaot hu melech ha-kavod tzela. Okay, there were five. So they say, Rishona, the first pasuk is shtayim, because it says it twice. Shniyah shalosh, and in the second verse it says it three times. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, Rishona Achat V'Shnia Shtayim. Why? Because if you notice in it, there's two psukim that say, Mize Melech HaKavod. That's not praising God. That's just saying, who is Melech HaKavod? That's a question. And it gets answered, right? So only the answer gets counted and not the question. Another one. Zamru Elohim Zameru, Zamru Lemalkenu Zameru, Ki Melech Kol Haaretz Elohim. So now what do you have here? In one place it says Malkenu, which is specific to Bnei Israel, and in the other one it says Melech Kol Haaretz, in the second part of that pasuk. So what does he say? It's Shtayim, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. He says you can count the first one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echat, Echat, just one. Okay, now, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, even though they disagree about all these things, they agree, v'shavin, b'melech Elohim, malach Elohim al goyim, Elohim yashav al kisei kodsho, even though it says God sat on his kisei kodsho, which sounds like he's becoming king, that you don't count, that one. Shehi achat, just the melech part you count, but not the yashav al kisei kodsho. Zikaron sheyesh bo trua, what if you have a pasuk that has both zichronot and trua in it? Okay, trua, which should mean shofarot. Kigon, Shabbaton Zichron Shua Mikra Kodesh. Omra ima Zichronot ve Omra ima Shofarot Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Okay, again, the machloka between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. He says you can use it for both. One psuk can count in both. Again, you have to say it twice, but it can count for both. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Omra, Ele ima Zichronot Bilvad. Now, they basically explain that there's two issues here. Number one is, can you say it together? And number two, we're going to see in a minute, in the third machloket here in this slew, that it says Tru'an, it doesn't say Shofar. And we want specifically Shofar. So there's two issues. Okay? Machut sheyeshimo Tru'ah. What if you have Machuyot and Tru'ah? Kigon, Hashem Elokavi Mo, Tru'at Melech Bo. Omram, Machuyot, Ve'omram, Shofarot. Again, Rabbi Yossi says you could say it in both. Tiber Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Omra, Ela Ima Machuyot Bilvad. Can only be said in Machuyot, because again, Tru'ah doesn't work. What about Tru'ah she'enima lo klum? What if it's just Tru'ah and it doesn't have Zichronot and Shofar and Malchuyot? Could that work? Kigon, Yom Tru'ah Yelachem. Omrama Shofarot Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Of course, Rabbi Yossi, Lishita Tosas, no problem. Tru'ah is fine for Shofarot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Omra Kol Ikar. You can't say it. Okay. Matchil Batorah Umashlim Banavi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Imishlim Batorah Yatza. So now, it's exactly what I said when I read the Mishnah. Imishlim, Dievet Im Lechatchil Alo. Sounds like, Imishlim, if you did it, it's okay. But lechatchila, you shouldn't. V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a brayta, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamashlim b'Torah ha'arez ha'meshubach. It's dafka ideal to do it with the Torah. So Ema, it should say mashlim. V'ha'im hishlim katane. Okay, so it means mashlim. You should do it. So they say, but ha'im hishlim katane. It says Im hishlim, which really means di'evet im lechatchila. So they're saying, even though they answered up, say it doesn't match the wording. Hachi ka'amar. This is how you should read it. Matchil b'Torah mashlim b'Navi. Rabbi Yossi Omer mashlim b'Torah, and it should be not hishlim b'Torah yatsa, v'imishlim b'Navi yatsa. Meaning that he says ideally Torah. It's missing some words in this Mishnah. Ideally it should be Torah, but if you're mashlim b'Navi, then you're yotze. Okay, the last one doesn't really matter. It's not critical. Tanya Nami Hachi. Okay, we're going to just finish to the Mishnah today. Anyway, tomorrow's daf is short. Amar Belezer Rabbi Yossi. Here's a proof. Vatikin hayu mashlimino ta b'Torah. So what do you see, right? The Vatikin would do it b'Torah. It's ideal. Bishlama zichronot b'shoparot ikatuva. So that works very well, that you're supposed to do four of Torah for zichronot and shoparot. I mentioned this already before. Elamachliot tlatu dahavyam. There's only three psukim of Malchiyot, and here they are. Hashem Elokavi Mo, Tru'at Melech Bo, Vayhi Bishurun Melech, and Hashem Yimloch Leolam Ve'ed. And there's no other psukim in the Torah that mention Melech. Va'anam Be'inan Eser Ve'leikan. We need 10, and there aren't. Amarav Huna Tashma. Now we learn it from here. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Malchut, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who says that you have to be Mashlim B'Torah, how does he explain that you can be Mashlim B'Torah, and there's four psukim, and there aren't four psukim in the Torah for Malchiyot? He adds, we see from this bright, he adds Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because what is that? That's all about God being one. It's the same as God being king. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eina Malchut. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this, but that doesn't bother us because Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that you have to be Mashlim B'Torah, so it doesn't matter. V'yadata Yom Vashevot Elav Avecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim En Od. Another pasuk, Malchut Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said that pasuk can also count as Malchut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Machut. Okay, and the third one, Atar Eta Ladat Ki Hashem Hu Alokim Eino Milvado, Machut, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Machut. What you see here is that it's a Machlok, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Can you take a pasuk that doesn't mention, it's exactly the same as the Trua. When it said Trua, Rabbi Yossi said, it has to say Shofar for it to be part of Shofarot. I'm sorry, not Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said that. The same with Malchio, it has to say Melech. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, it can say something that reflects the same concept, and we don't have to be so particular, also with the pikadon, right, or pikdonot like zichronot. Okay, he also said it could be pikdonot. So you see, Rabbi Yossi is consistent with his shita, and Rabbi Yehuda, who said the pikdonot are not zichronot, right, you see it all across the board. They don't agree about exactly what. So again, just to review, you see here all these discussions about which psukim are in, which psukim are out. Some of these psukim, you can look in the machzorim, and that's why I brought them here, to see which of these psukim actually ended up in our tefillah and which didn't. And some of them they talk about aren't in our tefillah at all, right? Or like Rabbi Yossi gives three options for Machuyo. We actually use Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But you see there's different options of other ones you can use. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with the Mishnah, HaOver L'fnei HaTeva.
You could easily give like